I went down the first time and preached to them, and I was under the impression that the pastor there was an older man, was some younger man was trying to run him off. And I got the pastor and the deacons together and chewed the deacons out and kicked the pastor and see the britches and told him to go back to work, and I left. Told him to forget about me. Seriously, I've always respected the pastor and the church. I believe he's God's man there, and never wanted to do anything to try and move a man out of a place until God moved him. About a year later, the pastor came to see me, and he said, the church still want you to come as pastor. And I had assurance from him and from God that that's where the Lord wanted me to be. And so we went there, pastored there for 5 years. It's a church that has as its spiritual ancestors such men as T.P. Simmons, C.D. Cole, Roy Mason. And I was convinced it was a Baptist church. The only kind of church I ever wanted to pastor was a Baptist church. And so the first thing they did was send me to the West Indies to see their mission work. 10 years ago, I'd asked the Lord if he ever wanted me to go to mission field to show me the place and the church that I could go with, because I believe in direct missions. I don't believe in any kind of mission board. And I've preached direct missions when it wasn't popular. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go, you show me the place. And so the Lord's done that. After 5 years pastoring Southside Baptist Church, 28th of October last year, the Lord very definitely called me to go to the Foreign Mission Field. We resigned the church pastor, and the church has accepted us as a missionary, and the church has authorized us to go to the Foreign Mission Field and to do mission work, which is the preaching of the Word of the Lord, baptizing those who are saved, establishing Baptist churches, and upsetting the Lord's Supper according by the authority of the church. If you want to know more about me, I'd be glad to try and tell you more about me. I've tried to put out some brochures, tell you something about our convictions, our beliefs. Saved when I was 13 in the state of West Virginia, the ministry of a Baptist preacher. Saved on Thursday night, baptized on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, in the fellowship of that Baptist church. I was called to preach when I was 18. I'll say that I've not always lived for the Lord like I'd like to. But I'll tell you this, God's never failed me. And I don't believe he's going to fail me in the future. Trust you'll pray for us. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Titus, chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the book of Titus. Brother Clark gave us some good introductions the other night. The message introduced his message by talking to us something about this man, Paul. And I want to remind us that Paul continually uses this phrase. And it is the salutation that he refers to himself many times. He says in here, of course, that he is a servant of God. Now, Romans chapter 1, he said he's a servant of Jesus Christ. There's no difference. Jesus Christ is God. He is very God. And if we be the servant of God, we be the servant of Jesus Christ. We be the servant of the Holy Spirit. We be the servant of God the Father. And so Paul in Romans chapter 1 said he's Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, but here in Titus he says he is a servant of God. No contradiction, no problems, same person. He said he is a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now I do not believe in a real particular sense that we could actually say he's a servant of an apostle of the Father, because the Father is not the head of the church, and I recognize that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are all three operative in the church, but it is the particular position of Christ that he is the head of his church, and so Paul had to say that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is the officer that the Lord chose and set in his church. Our Lord said in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I'd like to quote that verse of Scripture. Sometimes you modern-day evangelists start praising some of these stars and heroes and great movie heroes and so forth across in front of the platform and tell the congregation, look at this man, what this man done. He's decided to start living for the Lord. Well, I'd like to hang across the TV screen and across the arena, John 15:16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And anyone who's ever been saved, they've been saved because God's chosen. But he said, I've chosen you and ordained you. And the word ordained means I've set you in place. And I've chosen and set you in place. I believe that God must set us in the place of service, wherever it is that he would use us. And if he does not set us in place, we're always out of place, regardless of where we may be. And so Paul said, I am an apostle. This was his office, this position he had, and he was the apostle of Jesus Christ. Now he is a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, but all of that is under this canopy, according to the faith of God's elect. Now may I say to you that we cannot be the servant of God if we are not serving God according to the faith of God's elect. There are a lot of people today who want to be servants of God, but they're not serving God according to the faith of God's elect. He does not say here that it's my faith. It's not according to my faith. It's not a matter of us believing God or what we believe about God, but we must believe what God says if we're to be his servant. So Paul says, I am a servant of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, and this work that I'm doing, this service, this apostleship that I have, it is according to the doctrines, the teachings, the truths, the faith of God's elect. If we be the people of God, if we desire to serve God, if we want to be used of God, it must be that we're serving according to the faith of God's elect. It must be those truths and those doctrines which God's elect people have always held to. Always held to. Now, it's not according to the truths been taught in certain schools. I appreciate what Brother Kirby said over here. I am getting tired of these people coming out of Bible schools. As you close your eyes, you can tell what school they went to. And the problem, my friend, of what reason why Baptists are losing their distinctives, the reason why Baptists are losing their convictions, is because our preachers have been taught in schools and not in Baptist churches. I believe that the Lord's church is a place to train God's people, and I believe that the only ones who have the authority, I don't care how big their campus is, how many students they have enrolled, and how many degrees they have, the only body who has any business training Baptist preachers is Baptist churches. And Paul said, I am a servant of God, the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect people. It's not what the world believes. It's not what the seminaries are teaching. It's not what the religious crowd believes. But it's the doctrines that God's elect people believe. Amen. If you don't believe what God's elect people believe, you better check about your doctrines. Amen. It's the faith of God's elect. Amen. Now, God's elect will believe what God says. Amen. The criteria is that not what necessary that the elect believe it and that makes it so, but here's what it is, that the elect will believe what God says. Therefore, we can examine our convictions and our doctrines by what the elect of God say, what they're preaching and teaching, because they'll preach the truth. They'll preach the truth. And so Paul said that he was a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people today who are servants, trying to be servants of God. But I'm afraid that during that crowd that our Lord spoke about in the 7th chapter of Matthew, when the Lord said that they'll come unto me who will say, Lord, have we not in thy name done many mighty works, in thy name cast out demons, and done many things in thy name? And the Lord will say for me, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. I don't believe he's talking about salvation there, friends. You may believe what you want to about that. I don't believe he's talking about I never knew you before you've been saved. I believe that there are many sincere Christian people today who are going about trying to do God's work, and they're satisfied they are doing God's work, but the Lord's going to say to them in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. your work is not, didn't have my approval on it. Because it wasn't according to the faith of God's elect people. It wasn't according to the truth. Then he says, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. The faith of God's elect is the acknowledgement of the truth. They acknowledge the truth. They give credence to it. They acknowledge that this is truth. It's not because everybody else is saying it, but because God has said it. That's what makes it truth. It's not because it's what has been taught in seminaries that makes it truth, but it's because God has said it. It's not because we have evidence to prove it, but rather it's because it's what God has said. We can't prove God. We can't prove creation. And we can't prove heaven or hell. But rather we believe it because God has said it. And so Paul says he's a servant of God according to the faith of God's elect, which is to the acknowledgement of the truth. And the faith of God's elect will cause them to hear a man's message and examine a man's message and tell whether that man's message is preaching the truth or false doctrines.
Right.
Because it gives acknowledgement of the truth. We need to try preachers. We need to try preachers. The problem with Baptist churches today is they're not trying to examine preachers. They just believe in everything coming and going. They're being carried about by every wind of doctrine. Turn on the radio, you can hear all kinds of winds of doctrines blowing 40 different directions. And the thing of it is, our people are being scattered and they're being carried about by those winds of doctrines. Turn on television, you can hear Jerry and Jimmy and John and Billy and all those guys, and everybody has been carried about by them. Oh, I know he doesn't believe exactly like we do, but I like to listen to him. We ought not be listening to them. If they're not according to the truth, if they're not preaching the truth, they're not preaching that which God has taught us. It is heresy, it's false doctrines, and we ought to brand it as false doctrines. All of our people have been vaccinated. They've been vaccinated by TV and television, radio. And so when you come along preaching the truth, they say, well, it's not according to what Billy says, not according to what Johnny says, not according to what Jerry says. My friend, it's not according to what they say, it's according to what God says. And so Paul says he's a servant of God according to the faith of God's elect, which is to the acknowledgement of the truth. Proof that you're one of God's elect if you acknowledge the truth. That's the proof. In 2 Thessalonians, it's what Paul said. Paul says, brethren, we're bound to give thanks to God for you because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He says God not only has chosen you to salvation, but the evidence of that is this, that you believe the truth. You believe the truth. Which is after godliness. Which is after godliness. The truth has an effect upon you.
Amen.
It produces godliness. Paul said, I am a servant of God. What kind of servant are you, Paul? I am a servant of God. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And my apostleship, my service in the Lord, is within this sphere of being according to the faith of God's elect. What kind of faith? What are your doctrines? What do you believe? It is this. It is according to the truth, which produces godliness. I'll not give you a dime for any doctrine that does not produce godliness. God expects and demands that his people live godly.
Amen.
Be ye holy, for I am holy is not merely an Old Testament commandment, it's a New Testament commandment.
Amen.
And the reason why that we as God's people, my friend, have such a poor influence upon the world in which we live in is because our doctrines are not producing godliness amongst
Amen.
Us. We are not conforming, my friend, to what we say we believe and preach and teach.
Right.
We have made license of the doctrines of grace. The Word of God says we ought to adorn the doctrines of grace. We ought to make our lives conform to what we say the God's Word says. And we ought to manifest godliness because we believe that God teaches godliness in His Word. The grace of God will produce godliness. The If you believe that God has saved you and chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, you ought to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. You'll start conforming now. You won't wait for eternity.
Amen.
Which is after godliness. The problem, the reason why there's so many Baptist churches are having problems is not merely because of a lack of soundness in doctrine. I'm sure we have that. But also, my friend, because we've become too conformed to the world. Paul said, be ye not conformed in this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we have too much for the world in us. No wonder the world doesn't want to come to us for help.
Amen.
They know there's no help in the world, and they look at the Lord's churches, so-called churches, and they find so much of the world in the churches, they say, no need going there. They're doing the same thing, got the same crowd that we've got out here. They've got the same kind of music, they dress the same way, they talk the same way, they got the same type program, and I know that won't give me satisfaction. There's no need to go there. No need to drink from fountains that I know are polluted.
Amen.
I want to find something, my friend, that satisfies my thirst. And so Paul said he was a servant of God after the faith of God's elect. That faith, my friend, did not begin with John Calvin. That faith did not begin with John Wesley. That faith, my friend, has been taught by the holy prophets. It was preached by John the Baptist. It was preached by Jesus Christ. It was preached by the apostles. And when the New Testament closed, it was a faith that had been once and for all delivered unto the saints. It was a closed book then. If it cannot be found here in this book, my friend, you better cast it aside. We don't base our doctrines upon some creed. We don't base our doctrine upon some individual. But rather we base our faith upon that which is taught in the Word of God.
Amen.
And that kind of faith will produce godliness.
Amen.
Paul said, which is after godliness in hope of eternal life. Now I'm told that the word hope means assurance. The reason why that we live godly is because we know we have eternal life. In assurance of eternal life. How do you know tonight, day, that you have eternal life? Well, because I feel better. My friends, mind your feelings will take you to hell.
That's right.
How do you know that you have eternal life? Well, you can get 1,000 reasons for that. There's only one reason why we ought to have assurance of eternal life. Paul says, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's the reason why. The hope and assurance of eternal life is based here in what God hath done for me before the foundations of the world, and did give evidence of that in the death of Jesus Christ, and brought me to know that it was for me by the quickening power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's the reason why I know I have eternal life, because I've come to believe by the Spirit of God in the promises of what God has done for me in the person of Jesus Christ. In hope of eternal life, which God, my friend, the only hope of eternal life is to be found in God. And what we need today is to shut people up to God.
Amen.
Shut people up to God. We need to understand we're shut up to God. If the Lord's our God, we're shut up to Him. If God doesn't do it, then we better not try and do it. If God doesn't lead, we better not try to take off out some trail. If God doesn't give us understanding, we better be satisfied with our ignorance. I get tired of people who want to ask me questions about things that God doesn't say anything in His Word. I'm not God. If He doesn't say anything about His Word, you better be satisfied with the ignorance about the matter. Deuteronomy, the Lord tells us that the revealed things belong unto us and our children forever, but the secret things belong to the Lord. There are some things which God is pleased to keep secret to Himself. In hope of eternal life, which God. We are either shut up to God, my friend, or God will shut us up to judgment, one or the other. We better take our position and say, I'm just going to stand and wait on the Lord. And I'll cast myself solely upon the Lord. And if God doesn't bless, and God doesn't lead, and God doesn't open doors, and if God doesn't do so and so, then we'll be content with what God does do. But in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, God cannot lie because of his character. God cannot lie because of his nature. He does not change, nor alter. There is no variance or shadow turning about God. Therefore, he cannot lie. Whatever he has said, rest assured, my friend, he will also perform it. He cannot lie because of his power. We sometimes say we'll do certain things, and we find that we have not the sufficient means to do so. God is not so. God has all power. He has all authority. He has all resources. He controls all time. Therefore, what God has ever said he will do, you might as well mark it down as being done. Because God has said, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. He will not lie as long as he's God. And I don't have any scare about him being not God. And so Paul says, in hope of eternal life, which God, not because some preacher, not because some church, not because someone else promised it to me, not because I feel that way, but I have this assurance, this knowledge of eternal life, because God, who cannot lie. I'll take my stand there. I believe in the immutable, eternal God.
Amen.
But I want you to note something. He is gracious too.
Amen.
Paul says, in hope eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. Now may I ask you, who did he promise it to? We're told here that he promised it before the world ever began. And so it's not merely a promise that he made to you and I. Because you and I wasn't there. It involves you and I, but it wasn't a promise that God made to you and I. God is nowhere at any time and on any obligation to any man or any mortal anywhere. God could have never saved a single person, and he still would have been worthy of all honor and all praise and all glory.
Amen.
But God promised himself that he would save us from sin. And he cannot deny himself. And when you and I have ever ceased to exist, and there'll never be any more time, and there'll never be any more mortal beings, God will remain the same, and therefore he promised himself.
Amen.
He promised himself. And he'll be true to himself.
Amen.
Don't have any question about God being true, but he'll be true to himself. God will not lie to himself. He promised the Son. The Son promised the Father that he would come and die for us, and that he would shed his blood and give his life in remission for our sins and satisfy the law of God concerning us. And the Father promised the Son and said, Son, I'll see them. I'll bring them unto thee, and I'll keep them. I'll give them eternal life. He promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit promised the Son, and the Holy Spirit promised the Father, and the triune Godhead promised all three that they would cooperative give us eternal life. And if they don't do it, we'll never have it. But if we come to know it, it'll be because God spoke to us, and Christ died for us, and the Spirit of God drew us. That's the reason why. God has promised himself. And my friend, God will do what he's promised himself.
Amen.
This matter of being saved, my friend, is not something that we can compel God to do.
Right.
We in no way, my friend, can muster it up.
Amen.
We in no way, my friend, can compel God.
Right.
We in no way, my friend, can cause God to do anything about saving us. Because God's done everything that has to be done. God has promised himself,
He promised the Son, and the Son fulfilled His promise on the cross of Christ when He said with a mighty shout, "It's finished!" God saw the Father, saw the travail of His soul, and He was satisfied. And therefore the Spirit of God is going about fulfilling His part of the promise. He's bringing us unto Jesus Christ. This hope of eternal life is grounded, my friend, in the promise of God to Himself. And God's not finished with us yet. He's not finished with us yet. The purpose of God is not yet consummated in our lives. It is this, that we might be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And even the powers of hell, death itself, will not prevent God from doing what He promised He'd do. When we die and dead in the grave, and these old bodies have gone back to the dust, we've been forgotten by the 10 billion years, my friend, if God tarries that long. Yet God will satisfy His promise. He'll speak, and the Spirit of God will move us, and our bodies will come forth from the grave, transformed, conformed to the image of His dear Son. Why? Because God promised to do it. That's right. That's right. God, my friend, He's not responding to men. No, sirree. He never has. No. This thing we're doing down here, my friend, we're not getting God to do something. The issue is not whether or not we can get God to do it. It's whether or not God is pleased to use us to do it. That's the question. And if we fail, God won't fail. I don't believe if I should fail to go to Trinidad or wherever God would have me to go, I don't believe a single soul for whom Jesus Christ died for would go to hell.
Amen. Amen.
The reason why I want to go to Trinidad is because I love the Lord and I want to be obedient to Him, and because I want God to use me as His servant.
Amen.
In fulfilling a promise that He made to some people who live in Trinidad today, a promise that He made before the foundation of the world, which He made unto Himself. God has done some things for us before the foundation of the world. He did purpose to save us, choosing us in Christ Jesus. And Paul says in 2 Timothy that He saved us and called us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. But wait a minute. Verse 3 says, "But have in due time manifested His word through preaching." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
August 16th, 1953, I was sitting in a seat off to the right on a Thursday night. I was there, in spite with complete resistance or in opposed being there. I didn't want to go to church. I'd done everything all week long for months to keep from going to church. Sunday after Sunday, I'd lied, I'd played sick. I'd done everything in the world to keep my parents from making me go to church. I had good, godly parents. Sometimes they'd let me off. Most times they made me go. When I convinced them I was too sick, they'd put me to bed and make me stay in bed until they got home. But on a Thursday night, in spite of everything that I had done, I went out and drove the cows back as far as I could get them back on the back side of the field. I came to the house just as my mom and dad were getting ready to get in the car and go to the church. I had my old milk clothes on. And I said, "It's too late." And they said, "No, it's not. Get in the car. You're going to church, son." Thank God for godly parents. I went to church that night already under heavy conviction. I sat over in a far corner. When the preacher of God began to speak, I came to know in due time that Jesus Christ died for me.
Amen.
I knew already I was a sinner. The Holy Spirit had convicted me. I knew I was lost on my way to hell as a 13-year-old boy reared in a Christian home. Yet I knew I was lost.
Amen.
I knew that I deserved the judgment, the wrath of God. But that night, The Holy Spirit of God showed me that not only is I a sinner, but God had made provision for my sins, and Jesus Christ had died, and the Holy Spirit caused me to know that Christ was my Savior. How'd you do it? I wasn't in junior church.
Amen.
God didn't use any puppets.
Amen.
He didn't use any charts, visual aids.
Amen.
All that he used was what he's always used.
Amen.
Was the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's how I came to know it. And the only way that we know that God, my friend, have done anything for us before the foundation of the world is not because of some feeling, but rather it's because God honors the preaching of His Word.
Amen.
That's how we come to know it. Preaching the Word of God is that sharp, piercing thing that the Spirit of God takes and drives the Word of God into our heart and causes a dead heart to come alive. Deaf ears are quickened, blind eyes are made to see, and all of a sudden we become living beings and we move toward God by the Spirit of God. And repentance and faith are granted unto us, and we who were dead in trespasses and sins become alive, and we come to trust the Lord and His promises unto us, and we feel the sin shackles fall away, and we cry and shout, Abba, Father. Falls the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Makes the Word of God to be effective in our heart and lives.
Amen.
Who hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now let me tell you something, my friend. We're not free in this matter of preaching.
Amen.
We're not free to preach anything we want to preach.
Amen.
We're not free, my friend, to go about preaching however we want to preach.
Amen.
We have a constraint upon us.
Amen.
Paul tells us a dispensation of grace. Look at it, the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Paul said that in verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. And I believe the word I want is back in verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me. Given to me. Now you hyper-dispensations, just hold tight. That word does not mean what you think it means. It means a stewardship. I've been entrusted with a stewardship. And that stewardship is the preaching of the grace of God. And the only kind of preaching that we ought to be doing is preaching that magnifies the marvelous sovereign grace of God.
Amen.
That shuts sinners up to God's mercy and grace. And declares to them the only hope of their salvation in Christ Jesus died for them.
Amen.
The vast majority of Christians today, my friend, is God dishonoring, not God honoring. The vast majority of Christians today, my friend, have sinners playing with God and getting saved anytime they want to. And if they'll just let God do it, He'll try His best to get it accomplished. That's not the kind of preaching that we're committed to. Paul said that he was a preacher. He was preaching which is committed unto me. First of all, we need God-called preachers. We need men who are shut up to God, who will preach the Word of God, fearing not men's favor or men's approval, but to seek to serve God.
Amen.
That's the kind of preachers we need, Brother Kirby.
Amen.
Called of God. Men whom the Holy Spirit gives them a burning desire to preach the Word of the Lord. And they'll preach it too. They'll preach it. The only way you can shut a Baptist preacher up is cut his head off.
Amen.
They are but a voice. voice has no message of its own. They're simply speaking, declaring something. They're repeating something that they're told to repeat. A voice crying in the wilderness. God's preachers are always in the wilderness. They always walk in a strange crowd. Regardless of where they are, where they live, their message is a voice out of the wilderness. This world will not accept it. This world will not approve of it. But yet they preach what God bids them preach. Jonah came out of the whale, and the Lord said to him, "Now, Jonah, I want you to go preach the preaching that I gave you." That's God's preacher. Amen. Paul said, "I am God through the preaching of his word, which is committed unto me." Unto me. I like what he said about being counted worthy, putting me into ministry. Friends, there's not a one of us worthy of anything from God. The first Baptist said he must increase and I must decrease. And every Baptist who follows his train says he must increase and I must decrease. One of the marks you can tell about a man's ministry is who is he promoting. One of the questions you can put on a church, my friend, is who is it promoting? Is it promoting Jesus Christ? Is it promoting John Wesley? It's not the Lord's church. It's promoting John Calvin, it's not the Lord's church. Amen. Promoting Martin Luther, it's not the Lord's church. The Lord's church is follow like John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. Putting me in the ministry. Now note with you, according to the commandment of God, that's our message. That's our message. The commandments of God. Our Lord said to his apostles, to his church there as he Mount of Olives, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Our Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Biblical preaching demands and requires that men be conformed to the commandments of God.
Amen.
And if our preaching, my friend, is not such that we conform men to the commandments of God, we need to examine our preaching.
Amen.
Our ministry, my friend, it may be building buildings, it may be filling pews, but if we do not see in the lives of our people they're being confirmed, the commandments of God, we are failing. Mark it down, you're failing. If we don't see some coming along, maybe not as fast as we'd like for them, but see them coming along, and they're being conformed to the commandments of God. Paul, the servant of God. If you want to be a servant of God, it's going to have to be according to the faith of God's elect. God don't use any other kind of people. Which is the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness. And the purpose of our preaching is this, to make known unto men what is the manifold wisdom of God. And the eternal counsel of God, which he purposed to do concerning us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. May the Lord bless you.